You're listening to Jedi and Germs, a weekly podcast brought to you by the Torn by Sports Podcast Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'm Alan Zog, the Jedi. He's John English, the Germs guy. Hi, John.
Hi, Alan.
How are you?
I am well.
That is a good thing. And Devin, how are you?
I'm ready.
You're ready.
I'm ready.
So we have one who's well and one who's ready. Let's eat.
We are well prepared, basically. Because we got basketball back, guys.
Yes, we were
doing the countdown the last time we recorded a podcast, and we are here in the middle of preseason, and I'm digging it.
Yes, we are. Let's just start there. Let's start with the Utah Jazz preseason and see kind of where we're at with things right now. John, have you had a chance to watch many of the games?
I've only been able to watch highlights so far. In fact, what kills me is that I actually had someone give me tickets to the Toronto game a month ago, but I forgot about it until like we were on our way to go have dinner with friends. And I was like, oh, wait, I had tickets.
Well, yeah, Devin.
Are you telling me that you left empty seats at the Viv?
I did.
Oh, I
did. That is like a fan sin.
I know.
But it was preseason, so we'll let this one slide. But regular it was, yeah. season, don't, but it, don't you dare.
It was a good game, though, too, that Toronto game. I did watch that one. So I was at the Perth game. Granted, I was back and forth between that and the BYU beatdown that Washington was giving. Yes, Devin, we'll touch base on that later. Hush. But I was at that game, and then, yeah, I did watch the Toronto game. I was at work. I brought it up on my phone and had it running while I was doing work. So I got a chance to keep up on that for a little bit. What are your initial reactions, overreactions, thoughts of the things you saw?
I saw preseason sloppiness at times, but I also saw a lot of sets being run. And, you know, I was only able to watch a few minutes here and there. So not like a whole game stuff, but I was able to, looking at the stats, it looks great. Joe Ingles, 24 points in two games. Grayson Allen seemed just fine. Alec Burks looks like he might be able to contribute this year. So a lot of cool stuff in preseason.
Yeah, you hit a couple of spots I was going to with my observations. Alec Burks, and it seems that Twitter's abuzz with this anyway, seems to be fitting in with the offense a little bit. A lot of great passes at the right time, seems to find guys in the flow of the offense, and it seems to work well for him. And that's all you ever want from any of these guys. I mean, Alec Burks, you know, can score. He can get to the bucket. He can get to the free throw line. But it's nice to see that he'll contribute with the passes, that he'll hit open guys. So that's been a nice thing to see. Grayson Allen, you mentioned. Knockdown shooter. He's already there. He's already knocking him down. I mean, I'd like to see him do it, obviously, in the regular season, but he's not. He takes the shots when they're there. They're in rhythm. And, man, he looks good. He looks really good the way he's shooting the basketball right now. I'm surprised. See, this is the fact that you haven't watched much. I don't know if I can talk to you about this, but the one thing I've noticed, it appears that the Jazz are getting into their offense much earlier and quicker than we've seen in the past as well. It was small sample size. We just got a couple of preseason games to go off of. I want to watch and see if this becomes a trend, but to me, it seems like the pace of play has picked up a little more. They're pushing the tempo a little bit, transition a little bit more, and taking early shots. Like in that Perth game, Alec Burks, and a couple times he'd run the length of the floor and then turn around and pass out to an open Grayson or somebody else to hit a three in transition. And it just, to me, it looks like they're trying to push that pace just a little bit more than they have in the past.
Yeah, and one thing that's kind of cool about our early season sample size is that they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 guys shooting at least 40% from three.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good. Now, you're right, small sample size, does it last? And once you get into the regular season, defenses key in on that and a little bit more. Does it continue? But it's promising right now. It's definitely promising. As far as anything else goes, yeah, you're right. They've looked sloppy at times. That Toronto game, Devin, I know you watched Toronto. You were live tweeting a bit of it for a while. You watched it.
Yeah, I watched a little bit of it. It was the night of that wonderful thunderstorm, and so lost connection here and there. But I thought the Jazz looked good. They had, what, one bad quarter? I think the second quarter they were kind of down. But Toronto's a good team, you know. We don't think about them as a good team, but they're really, like we said, what, one of two or three real contenders in the East this year?
I think they're one of the top five teams in the NBA.
So, you know, the thing I liked about that game was having our first look at Kawhi Leonard, you know, from an NBA standpoint, seeing him actually back and doing something on the court. But overall, just impressions from the first couple games. Rudy looks fantastic. Grayson seems like he's going to fit in very well. And Joe Ingles is showing that his three-point shooting is not a fluke.
No,
he had a very, very good birthday game.
Oh, yes, he did. What was he, 5 of 11 that night, I think?
What he had...
He took 11 three-pointers, and I think he was 5 of 11 on the night.
I want to say he ended the game with 24 points.
Yes, so, yes, he did.
You know, any time Joe puts up 24 points and two of those are a two-handed dunk, we're looking pretty good.
Yeah. Now, John, I believe I saw that they have trimmed the roster by one player so far. They had 20. They're down to 19, right?
Yes. Trey Lewis was cut, and I'm pretty sure he never played a minute anyway.
Yeah, I don't think so either. You know, it's crazy. You know, the Perth game, that was another thing I noticed. I think they finally got everybody except maybe him to play that night, and most of them scored. By the way, the other 7-footer that the Jazz have, he's a big boy. That's on the preseason roster right now.
Yeah, big Haas.
Yeah, Haas is huge.
He's a big, big boy. I think he came in, what, 7'4", and he's 290. That is a big fella. I was almost begging, can we have Rudy and Haas on the floor at the same time for a minute?
And Favors.
Yeah, and
I want all three on the court, and I dare someone to score inside.
Oh, is Haas on?
You know, can guard the perimeter,
right? Is Haas on contract with the Jazz beyond preseason?
I don't think so.
I didn't think so either.
The two ways. Yeah, okay. The two ways went to Lyles, and I think Long has the other one.
Right. Right. Do you know who else looks pretty good in the small sample size we had? Tony Bradley.
That's encouraging, because I really wanted this to be the year where he has something.
He hasn't played a lot, but in the Perth game, I liked how I liked what I saw from him. He looks promising. I don't know how much time he's going to get over the course of the year. But, final observation from me, guys look trim. The night that they played Perth, I watched him come out. Favors looked much trimmer than he has in the past. And the guy that I noticed the biggest change was Crowder. Crowder came out and looked much, much more trim, much more, trimmed down weight-wise. I mean, he was light on his feet all night long, moving around really well. I think part of that is that he's been able to put in the work and the time in the offseason where he wasn't able to last year, but Crowder looks really good. I mean, from a physical standpoint, being able to play in the game and stuff, he looks in shape. Devin, stop it.
Alan really likes how Crowder looks. So John, when you're watching tonight, because there's a game this evening, keep your eyes on Jay.
That's not what I'm getting at. I'm just saying that the guys look in shape much more. It almost looks like a lot of them have lost some weight maybe put on a little bit more muscle, but just look a lot different than they did last year. And I think on the broadcast the other night, Bowler and Harpring were talking about that, especially with Favors and Crowder.
Well, you know what they say, every off season, everyone trims the fat and adds 10 pounds of muscle. So
there you go. But yeah, that's my observation so far. I like what I see, and hopefully you'll get a chance to watch the rest of preseason, John, a little bit more and see what's going on.
We've got a couple preseason games coming up, so let's kind of talk about maybe what we want to see and kind of expectations going forward.
Okay, we got one tonight against
Adelaide.
And then we've got Sunday against the Blazers. And then the next one I show would be Thursday.
Sacramento.
Against Sacramento, and which I'm actually looking forward to a lot.
Both of those games are road games.
Correct. So what are you looking for here, John? Are you looking for who's going to establish themselves in those secondary roles? Because I think our starters are fairly set, you know, like a matchup. Are you looking at Burks versus Grayson? Or are you more interested in, let's say, who's going to secure those final spots or spot on the squad with those other guys?
Well, I think the biggest question mark is how are the minutes going to be distributed with Dante, Grayson, Alec. And I'm inclined to think that Alec is going to get more run early for his veteranness. And also, I'm looking for O'Neal. Hasn't looked that good the first couple games. I'm looking for him to find his shot and kind of get back into what he was doing.
From a shooting standpoint, yes, I agree. There were things that O'Neal did in that Toronto game, though, that are just O'Neal, and I'm perfectly fine with what he did. He passed the ball quite a bit in that game, was very active in the passing game, and defensively he looked pretty much like he had last year too. So I wasn't too discouraged from what I saw from O'Neal, specifically in Toronto or against Toronto. Something else I was going to mention the one thing that you mentioned is a little sloppy play, but I think it's especially with the second unit. I wonder if with the new additions and with things go as they go, as we get into the season, I think we're going to see Quinn start to maybe move and shuffle guys around in that second unit a little bit just to get the right kind of chemistry and flow. Do you think?
Yeah. Something else with the way this is going, the Jazz already have a couple guys who are experiencing soreness. And I would not be surprised if more of the regular rotation guys just take more of these games completely off.
Yeah, I agree with that. Might as well. No sense in hurting them in preseason.
With the teams coming up, specifically Portland and Sacramento, I have not followed closely who they have added or kind of what's happening there. Are there any guys that you know of that we should be keeping an eye on, having some interest in?
As far as on the other teams?
Yeah, because I know that Fox seemed to have a good game against the Lakers.
Yes, he showed his
shooting ability. Looks like he's ready to make a jump this season. I'm just wondering if there's anyone else.
I'm always curious about second year guys, so I'm curious to see how Zach Collins looks on Portland. Caleb Swanigan wasn't really able to do much last year. Let's see if he has anything this year. And then their rookie, Anthony Simons, is really young, and I'm curious to see what he looks like.
This is the rookie on Portland?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then who is it? Who's the rookie for Sacramento? Because there's another guy. Fox isn't the only one they've got. There's a rookie.
Bagley.
I like Bagley, and I'm kind of looking forward to watching him a little bit. And that game, I'm kind of hoping to see what we see out of him in that game too. Fox, we know what we're going to get. Fox can light it up. He's a good baller. But Bagley's a guy I want to kind of watch.
And I do remember watching a Sacramento game in summer league, and I'm wanting to see if Harry Giles has anything.
Yeah.
Because he was a lottery pick until he got injured again. And, you know, I'd be curious to see if there's anything to him now. But, you know, Sacramento, I'm just looking at their roster. They're probably going to be the worst team in the league next year.
Yeah.
Atlanta might have something to say about it, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be Sacramento. This is just an odd roster I'm looking at.
With what they have, I mean, the recent picks, do they maybe have something going forward to build on, or are they just are they building with no architecture? Like I don't know that they have a plan.
They have something. You have Fox, you have Heald. That's a decent 1-2 right there. Scalabissiere, I don't know what he is yet. Willie Cauley-Stein is pretty good.
Yeah, he is.
He's serviceable. Justin Jackson, let's see if he can make a leap. You know, there's good pieces there, but currently not really.
And if they
potential pieces there.
If they have an issue with their A group of pieces that you just mentioned, Bagley is a good guy to fall back on. Right? Uh-huh. Especially if he ends up producing this year like you anticipate he will.
Well, I think Bagley's got to be part of your A team there, is he not? I mean, he was picked second overall.
Yes, you would think so.
So, I mean, you're not winning anything. You get guys in and you get them minutes right away.
But which one of those guys in that A group, which one of those guys ends up dropping out in favor of Bagley? Are you following my thought process here, John?
Bagley, I mean, didn't he mostly play center in college? I feel like they want Bagley to be a four.
Right.
So they can have Willie Cauley-Stein out there with him.
Okay.
And then you got Fox and Heald as your backcourt. And then your small forward is who? Justin Jackson.
Okay.
So I think that's your starters right there. Now you also have Bogdan Bogdanovich and Kosta Kufis and these other vets that are kind of there that aren't that great, but they're there. Oh, and they got Jelica. So he's someone the Jazz were looking at last year.
Right.
So he'll be a good vet scoring option off the bench, I think.
Okay. Well,
but you still got Ben McLemore and
right.
Just weird pieces that aren't dead.
I'm surprised they brought McLemore back. Because they let him go, and then suddenly he winds up back in Sacramento. It just didn't seem to work out the first time.
Well, I'm sure Kings fans feel the same way Jazz fans did when they brought Ostertag back. Like, why?
Or Rajah Bell. Oh, wait, no.
We were excited about that.
We were excited. We were excited about Rajah. Unfortunately, it didn't. That second time around didn't work out so well.
No, yeah. No. Sometimes when you break up, it's just best to let it go
and
not try to rekindle the flame. I mean, the time has passed.
Has there anyone successfully come back the second time? I mean, I'm thinking even go back to like Blue Edwards. It seems like when the guys came here the second time, it still just didn't quite work out.
Mo Williams?
Mo, yeah.
Mo was decent the second time around.
He was. It was a Corbin team, so who knows? I remember I was at one game where the Jazz were up by 8 and then Mo wanted to play hero ball and missed like 8 shots in a row. And right. Everyone's like, just pass the ball. Wound up losing the game. That was the end of Mo.
Yeah. I can't think of anybody else though. I mean, you're right. There's not very many. Yeah. I don't know the experiment second time around with some of these guys worked very well. No. All right. If that's it for the Utah Jazz conversation, let's move on to NBA news and notes. While we're on the Sacramento talk, John, did you get a chance to watch any of the Lakers Sacramento game last night?
No.
So I didn't. I kind of kept up on the tabs a little bit. It went down the stretch, down the wire. Like it was one of those league pass type games, if you will, down the stretch. Some numbers to pop out at you. Brandon Ingram, right? Ingram, yeah. Ended up with 31 points. Had a monster night for the Lakers. And I can't remember the final score, but at one point in time, it was like 126 to 123. It was back and forth.
Yeah, 128, 123 is the final score.
Yeah, and LeBron was on the bench much of the fourth quarter. He didn't really play a lot. He was playing cheerleader. But he was playing cheerleader as Brandon Ingram was putting up shots, playing his game. It was an entertaining final 5 minutes that I watched between the two teams. So, is the verdict still out how good the Lakers are going to be?
Well, I think the current verdict is road playoff team.
Okay.
And I think that's about right. I think they'll be able to be fighting against whoever the backsliders are in the Western Conference for a playoff spot. So, yeah, I think the verdict right now is correct.
Okay. I read an interesting piece the other day, or was it a tweet? I can't remember. Somebody, some NBA writer had the Jazz picked at fourth or fifth, I think, behind OKC or right there with OKC, with the Lakers put at number three.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, you guys do realize that on Cleveland they came in fourth.
Yeah, exactly. I think he says, I'm just writing it merely on potential and what really happened. He goes, Jazz are likely to prove me wrong, yada, yada, this. And he kind of goes down the list, but he says, at this point in time, this is where I see it. I saw his conversation with somebody. I wish I could remember who it was, but not something I agree with, but that's okay. Actually, I think it might've been Alex Kennedy. Maybe.
Well, if I'm a Laker fan, then I'm full of myself and really cocky. And I'm looking at this thinking, you know, Kuzma and Hart are going to have these huge second year leaps. Ingram's finally coming into his own. LeBron can do anything. And, you know, I'm just looking at the box score. Okay, Ingram had 31 points. Kuzma had 17. Hart had 17. I would be excited about that.
Heck yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. That is a great road Western playoff team.
Yeah. So, Let's go ahead and get on to the main story in the NBA this week. We had the annual GM survey. Kind of things popped out to you, John, because apparently, you know, at first thought, I think everybody else in Jazz Twitter agreed with my initial thought that Rudy didn't get near enough love from the GMs. Did you take that from there?
He got some love, but I was surprised he didn't get a single vote for who's the best center in the NBA.
Yes.
Not a single vote.
He did get the votes as far as who the best defender is in the NBA and the best rim defender and the best, I guess, defensive player of the year. I think he was their number one pick there. But yeah, I was a little surprised as well.
Well, let's go through them real quick. Okay. These are all the NBA GMs, and I'm keeping in mind that some of these GMs didn't do it themselves. I'm guessing an assistant or something did some of them.
But probably.
Who will win the NBA Finals? Golden State, 87%. Others getting votes, Boston and Houston.
Okay, while you're
Eastern Conference teams.
Before you go any further, I was going to mention the one thing I liked that they did with this survey is they listed the picks, but then they also indicated what the pick was last year and the percentage change from last year. And I found that interesting with Golden State that they picked them, but the percentage was quite a bit different, if I remember correctly.
Well, it was 93 last year. It's 87 this year.
Yeah, so it's dropped a little bit.
Yeah, that's one vote, two votes.
Come on, John. You're not supposed to.
Okay. So then it says rank the top four teams in the Eastern Conference. Boston got 90% of the first place votes. Toronto got the other 10. And it kind of goes down like that. So when you add up all their percentages, they rank as Boston, Toronto, Philly, and then quite a bit of space there. Then you get to Milwaukee with 7, Indiana with 6, Washington with 2, and then Miami had 1 fourth place vote. So, and that looks right. And as I look at that, that does look like who's probably going to be the top 7 in the East.
Yes.
Miami, I don't know. Their roster is so weird, but I just think coaching's probably going to pull something out of their hat.
And depending on what happens, Boston and Toronto could flip-flop. I mean, you could see Toronto with the number 1 seed as well. There's potential there.
And last year, 86% picked Cleveland.
So yeah, that worked
Cleveland
well.
Cleveland came in fourth. Okay. Top four teams in the Western Conference, 90% pick Golden State. The other 10% pick Houston. So it's like a mirror there. And then it went Oklahoma City 3rd, Utah 4th, Lakers 5th, Portland 6th, Let's see, tied with San Antonio, actually. Someone gave San Antonio a second place vote.
That really?
And then Denver came in eighth. Yeah, I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
I understand believing in San Antonio, believing they'll have a better record this year than last year because you have DeRozan. But second in the West, I just, no.
Yeah.
Nope.
All right.
I will let that be a take I stick by, and it can be thrown back in my face next year. That's fine.
Perfectly fine with it. Okay. How do you feel about the top four the way they're laid out there? Do you agree with it?
Yeah, I do.
You think Oklahoma City is better than the Jazz?
I think Oklahoma City will be able to get one or two games better record than the Jazz, assuming Roberson stays healthy all year. They are just better around talent than they were last year. Their team is better constructed. They got rid of Melo. Grant's going to get more minutes. Grant was always good when he got those minutes.
Right.
And Schroeder is a major upgrade as backup point guard. So, yeah, I see them being better than last year, and I can see them having a better record than the Jazz, even though I still think if they faced head-to-head, Jazz would still win. But it would be close and hard.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's a solid top four. And the next four is probably going to be that way, although I think New Orleans is going to make the playoffs again. So one of those has to fall out. And I'm inclined to think it would be Portland or San Antonio. But
agreed. I am leery just a little bit if the playoffs were to end this way. I don't want the Jazz facing Golden State in the second round again. I don't know. Maybe I'm just not keen on that idea. For the third year in a row, you're facing, well, no, not third year in a row. The third year in a row, you're facing the number one team in the second round, where they faced Houston this last year. But I don't know how I feel about that. I think I kind of like the idea of a three seed matchup in the second round with a number two seed Houston. But again, maybe I'm just pandering ahead of time on it. That's all.
Well, I mean, Houston was the number one team last year.
They were, yes.
And they hit him in the second round, and injuries was a major factor in that series. So I don't think you can worry about where the seeding is going to be. Just get the best record as you can. And if the Jazz had managed to hop up to third, they were tied for fourth last year, so they wound up with a fifth seed.
Yes.
They hop up to third, they could still face Golden State in the second round. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's true, too. I don't know. I'm just thinking ahead and maybe, I said, I'm pandering a little bit. That's all right. Okay, continue.
All right, MVP. LeBron at 30%, Durant at 27%, Anthony Davis at 17%, Harden at 10%. And there are some other votes here and there, none of them on Utah. Last year, LeBron was the pick at 50%. So that to me said people didn't think it would be Harden because he got Chris Paul, and so there's going to be this dual awesomeness going on.
I'm not going to break these down a whole lot because I think next week's episode is going to have to be our preseason picks.
Yeah.
So I'll you know, we can hold back on some of these thoughts till next week, but yeah, I like the picks. I like the picks for
this one. I thought was interesting. If you were starting a franchise today and could sign any player in the NBA, who would it be? Last year, the winner was Carl Anthony Towns with 29%. This year, he didn't get a single vote. The winner this year was Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Wow.
30%. Anthony Davis, 23%. Durant, 20%. LeBron, 17%. Curry, 7%. And one vote for Embiid. Okay.
Greek freak love, Devin.
Greek freak love. Which player forces opposing coaches to make the most adjustments? No surprise, LeBron James again. Which player is most likely to have a breakout season? Jamal Murray at Denver, which I think is a pretty decent pick. Second place tied was between Ingram and Tatum, also decent picks. And you scroll down there, someone gave a vote to Donovan Mitchell. I think he had such a good year last year that to have a breakout season, he'd have to jump into Oladipo-type numbers, which is fine. I picture that's why he's down there. Last year, the pick was Carl Anthony Towns, and I can't really say he had a breakout season.
Right.
He was good, but not a breakout season. Who's the best point guard in the NBA? Once again, it's Curry. Who's the best shooting guard in the NBA? Once again, it's Harden. Who's the best small forward in the NBA? Once again, it's LeBron. Who's the best power forward in the NBA? Once again, it's Davis. Who's the best center in the NBA? Davis again. So 37% picked Davis for best power forward and 40% picked Davis for best center.
I'm okay with him at either spot, but don't have him in both.
Yeah. And a lot of guys got vote as best center, including a lot of guys who aren't centers, but no votes for Gobert.
Let me guess, was Draymond Green on that list?
No. Okay. But Greek Freak was on there. And
what?
He usually plays three or four. And
wow. Someone picked him best center. So, see, that's why I asked Draymond Green.
He got votes on three different positions.
See, that surprises me. That's why I asked Draymond, because if you're going to give votes to Antetokounmpo, why didn't you give votes to Draymond Green at that spot? That's just weird.
Yeah, there's nothing there. Drummond got a vote for best center.
No. Uh-uh. No.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, someone gave one to Mark Gasol, and he's good, but how can you say he's the best center in the NBA now? Someone gave it to Cousins. Come on.
That's three people right there that shouldn't even get looked at for that spot.
I know. Okay.
Whatever.
Which team made the best overall moves? Lakers. What one player acquisition will make the biggest impact? LeBron. Who's the most underrated player acquisition? Jazz aren't going to be in any of these because they didn't make any changes, but the winner there, underrated acquisition, Tyreek Evans in Indiana. Okay.
I could see that, actually. That is.
Which team will be the most improved? Last year, the pick was Minnesota, and that was right because they did make the playoffs. This year, it's the Lakers, which is smart.
It's a safe, smart bet, yeah.
Most surprising move in the offseason, the pick was Cousins to Golden State. That's fair. Second was Kawhi Leonard, DeMar DeRozan trade. Understandable.
Yeah.
Okay, rookies and international. Rookie of the year, the pick was Doncic. Also getting votes was Bagley, Wendell Carter, DeAndre Ayton at Phoenix, and a couple other guys. Last year, the pick was Lonzo Ball, but last year they must have forgot that Ben Simmons would count as a rookie.
That surprises me.
What?
Well, I just can't believe that Ben Simmons didn't get any votes this
year.
Prove him wrong, Ben.
Yeah. All right. Which rookie will be the best player in 5 years? Tied at number one was Ayton and Jaren Jackson Jr. at Memphis. And third was Doncic.
Oh, I love Jaren Jackson. Oh, my goodness. I love Jaren Jackson.
Yeah, he's really good. Which rookie was the biggest steal at where he was selected in the draft? No votes for Jazz guys here, but the number one pick was Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. He was picked 11th by the Clippers. And then there's this second rounder, Svi Mykhailiuk, something like that. He's on the Lakers. Apparently he's a big steal. And then also Wendell Carter Jr. at 7, Michael Porter Jr. at 14 for Denver, Gary Trent Jr. at 37 for Portland. All those were considered steals where they were. Doncic at 3rd was considered a steal by a couple votes. So, you know, all over the place for that one. Someone voted Ayton was a steal at number 1.
What are some of these GMs smoking?
Best international player. No votes for Gobert. The winner was Greek Freak. Can't complain. The others getting votes was Porzingis, Doncic, Jokic, and Marc Gasol.
Okay. Other than Marc Gasol, I'm okay with the rest of those. I guess Mark still needs love, but this is where Rudy should have been on instead of Gasol.
You're putting a rookie in who hasn't played a single true NBA minute.
Right.
Over Rudy Gobert, reigning defensive player of the year, who was robbed the previous
season. They're picking on potential, Devin. Yeah. On potential alone.
No.
Which again.
They're saying who is the best international player in the NBA, and someone voted for Gasol. So Luka Doncic, they're saying right now, is the best international player in the NBA.
Okay. Well, all right, I can see why you have issues with that, but I have bigger issues with Marc Gasol being on that list than I do with any of the rest of them.
I have problems with most of them. Question, does Kyrie count as a foreign player?
Oh, why?
No, I'm asking. He's Australian, isn't he?
Kyrie?
Kyrie Irving?
He born here? And his dad was Australian. It was one of the two. I thought he was born in Australia.
Now you
really?
Now you're gonna make me look.
I thought we would have known this by now if he was Australian because of what we have going on here. Yeah. Holy cow. He was born in Melbourne.
Yes, he was.
Thank you. Therefore, shouldn't Kyrie get a vote?
I don't think so.
Oh, my gosh. He was born 2 months before I graduated from high school. Ah! All right, anyway.
Okay, one, you're old. Two, he's from Australia. Three, Devin was right.
All right, Devin, stop.
It's like Portland all over again.
Oh. All right, continue.
Okay. Best international player not in the NBA. Last year, Doncic won this with 69%. This year, the winner is Sergio Lowell. Okay. And some other guys who spent a year or two in the NBA. Nando DiColo, Alexei Shved, Jan Vesely, Andrew Bogut got a vote. Okay, defense. Best defensive player in the NBA. Rudy Gobert and Kawhi Leonard tied at 37% each. Perimeter defender, Kawhi, 60%. Any Jazz guys get votes? Nope. Best interior defender in the NBA, Rudy Gobert with 80%. Who's the most versatile defender in the NBA? Draymond Green at 53%.
That doesn't surprise me.
Best defensive team in the NBA, Utah, 45%. Others getting votes, Boston at 34%, Golden State at 17%, Oklahoma City at 3%.
And by the way, the GM pick last year was Golden State for that.
Yes.
Okay.
Coaches, who's the best head coach in the NBA? Quinn Snyder did get a vote, but right now the overall winner was Brad Stevens at 47%. Last year it was Greg Popovich at 82%. I think he fell a lot because of the whole Kawhi thing. Which head coach is the best manager, motivator of people? Pops gets the number one at 47%, and then you have Kerr, Stevens, and Spoelstra.
I think Quinn got a vote on there too. No, not on that one. That's right. Not on that one.
Don't hold 3-hour practices and get a vote for being a great motivator.
Yeah. Which head coach makes the best in-game adjustments? Quinn Snyder tied for third at 10% on this one. The winner was Brad Stevens at 53 and the Pops second at 13. Last year, the winner was Rick Carlisle.
And I don't argue with that list either. Pop at number one, Brad Stevens at number two, and Quinn. No, I don't disagree with that list at all.
This one's interesting. These next two are interesting to me. Which head coach runs the best offense? Which head coach has the best defensive schemes? So offense, it goes Kerr, D'Antoni, Stevens, Snyder, Stotts. Defense, Snyder, Stevens, Pops, Kerr, Thibodeau. So Snyder is fourth best offense, best on defense, third best on in-game adjustments, but he only got one vote for best head coach. Okay, fine.
Okay.
Fine.
Yeah, right. I know.
Best assistant in the NBA, there was a vote for Alex Jensen at Utah. The winner, though, is Ron Adams at Golden State, and Ettore Messina at San Antonio is second, and then, you know, a bunch of guys we haven't heard of, or former head coaches or whatnot. Which active player will make the best head coach someday? Last year, the winner was Chris Paul. This year, the winner is Chris Paul. And getting two votes each was CJ McCollum, Jameer Nelson, Rajon Rondo, and Garrett Temple of Memphis. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Nobody from the Jazz I see down there. Okay. Miscellaneous, which team is the most fun to watch? Golden State got 60%. Someone did vote for Utah. Which team has the best home court advantage? Golden State at 50%, Utah second at 27%. Which team has the most promising young core? Philadelphia won that one. That Utah did get one vote. Which player is the most athletic? Russell Westbrook wins at 48%. He won it last year as well at 62%. Donovan Mitchell came in fourth on this one.
Yes, he did.
For most athletic.
Yes, he did.
Which player is the best pure shooter? Steph Curry wins again. Which player is fastest with the ball? Last year it was John Wall. This year Westbrook got the most votes. Which player is best at moving without the ball? Klay Thompson at 53%. Anybody from the Jazz? No. Which player is the best passer? LeBron James at 50%. Chris Paul at 17%. Two votes apiece for Rajon Rondo, Ben Simmons, and John Wall. Ricky Rubio did get a vote.
Yes, he did.
Which bench player makes the biggest impact when he enters the game? That would be Lou Williams on the Clippers. That's smart. Eric Gordon, second, 28%. Also smart. Last year it was Andre Iguodala. Iguodala came in third this time. Who's the toughest player in the NBA? Steven Adams on Oklahoma City. That's all fine. I don't see anyone from the Jazz. Which player is the best leader? LeBron, number one. Chris Paul, number two. Curry, number three. Al Horford, number four. Actually tied with Damian Lillard for fourth. Who's the most versatile player in the NBA? LeBron, Greek Freak, Durant, Draymond Green. Which player is the best basketball IQ? LeBron won it last year. He wins again this year. Which player would you want taking a shot with the game on the line? Kevin Durant wins that one. Steph Curry comes in second. What rule regarding play, playoff format, et cetera, needs most to change? The winner was playoff seeding with 1 through 16.
Yes.
That's very interesting. I find that very interesting that that one won, because you'd think, well, actually, owners wouldn't want it to change, but I'm sure there's some GMs that would like to see that change.
Oh, absolutely.
Second was draft lottery odds system, which they made a little adjustment to. Schedule, fewer games, 11%. And then tied for fourth are a bunch of these. One is draft combine process, draft medical info, draft eligibility, one and done rule, and replay length. And then a bunch of other ones in there. That's it.
Yeah. That's it. I mean, it's an interesting survey to read every year. And there are some definite, I wonder what was going through some of these guys, you know, minds when they were doing it. But yeah, we could debate this for a long time. All right. So check out the GM survey if you didn't see it. It's, I mean, hey, we just ran down it all with you. I'm going to mention one other bit of NBA news and notes. John, you didn't, I don't know if you saw it, but last night the Boston Celtics had their fan event. Kyrie Irving indicated in front of all the fans that he intends to sign a long-term deal with Boston.
Yes, indeed.
We've heard that before.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but just being honest, we have heard this before, and players have been traded despite their wishes to return. So
yeah,
you never know what's going to happen.
I just wanted to point that out. That was the latest news I saw last night.
Yeah, yeah. KD's staying in Oklahoma City. LeBron's never leaving Cleveland again.
Hayward's staying in Salt Lake City.
Right, right.
I know.
So
Kawhi Leonard's staying in San Antonio. Yeah, that worked out well, too. All right. So that's the end of NBA news and notes. Anything else to add? If not,
nope.
Let's move on to Devin's quick hits.
Really?
Yes, really.
Really? You want me to just rattle some of these things off?
Well, if you don't have a lot to talk about, then, you know, Devin's quick hits were really quick this week.
No,
and moving on.
No. All right. Let's talk baseball, because I know at least one of our listeners is interested in baseball.
Maybe half a listener.
We've made it to the playoffs, so I'm just going to kind of go through these. I want to know who you guys are picking. Brewers or Rockies? Milwaukee's up 1-0 right now in the series.
I'm sorry to my Colorado friends, but I think I got to go with Milwaukee.
You're not feeling Rocktober?
No. Nope.
Okay.
Alan
doesn't want to participate.
I'll Rockies. Sure, we'll say Rockies.
Okay. Dodgers, Braves.
Dodgers.
Yeah, they did get a 6-0 win yesterday, so they're off to a good start. Cleveland Astros, there's a good series.
May the best team win.
I'll go with Cleveland.
I'm gonna go with Houston. We will see.
Do you realize I haven't watched a single minute of baseball
matter.
All
this
summer?
Is how this is how baseball works. You ignore the entire season. You pretend to care at the beginning of the playoffs. And then you start watching maybe middle of the World Series. That's the American way.
That's how I do it, at least. Or maybe not at all.
How about Yankees, Red Sox?
Yankees.
We've stumped John. He is just completely at a loss who to pick.
Yankees.
Yankees fan. I don't know what's worse, being a Yankees fan or a Boston fan.
If I cared for baseball, I'd be a Yankees fan, so there.
Oh, okay. let's do a quick hit on college football. How are you guys feeling after that loss to Washington? We brought it up. We might as well talk about it.
Didn't surprise me, maybe the way it happened did, but Washington's for real.
They are.
They're a playoff team.
They're a legit team.
They're a playoff team. John?
Yeah, I was just sad that it was that.
Yeah. Well, we'll leave it at that. Yeah.
I thought the Cougars moved offensively pretty well in that game. They couldn't put points on the board and struggled a bit against that. Again, Washington's defense is for real. They're a very good defensive team.
Well, how are you feeling this week? You're going up against your in-state rival
tonight,
Utah State.
Today, as of recording today, tonight they will be playing.
So who are you taking? You feel like the Cougars can bounce back? We've said that Utah State could be one of the best, if not the best team in the state of Utah.
I do think that Utah State's a very, very good football team, but I think BYU wins.
BYU wins.
All right. And let's talk about Utah. We don't want to, but we're going to.
Stanford.
Tough loss against Washington State last week. This week they've got Stanford on the road. Stanford ranked 14th in the nation, coming off a big loss
to your team,
to the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. What do you think? Does Stanford or Utah bounce back in this one?
Well, hold on. Since this is quick hits, I know this is your quick hits, but I'm going to ask you first. Do you want to see your Utes pull off the double whammy for the second week in a row? You watched Notre Dame do it last week. You watch Utes do it this week. Yes. What are you picking?
I would like Utah to win.
You don't think they will?
I don't think they will.
Okay.
But I would like them to.
Okay. And the other question I have for you, did you watch last week? I heard Utah's offense looked promising last week for a change. Yes or no?
They looked promising at times. They were much improved. But the thing is, Utah needs to learn to stop shooting themselves in the foot.
Okay.
Because they had chances to win that game.
Yes.
And they kept taking it away, getting penalties. Penalty after penalty.
All right.
Why are you upsetting me?
I'm not trying to upset you. I'll go back to your question on the quick hit. I think Stanford wins.
John?
Stanford's going to win.
Okay.
Oh, there's no I thing. The man has spoken. All right. Alan doesn't care. John, you tell me. Who wins tomorrow night? Khabib? Or the king?
McGregor?
McGregor
win.
Okay. I'm not so confident. I think he's been away from it for too long. I'm not sure how he's going to do coming back into it. Truthfully, I don't know why he is, because he made enough money off that Mayweather fight that I don't think he needs to lift a finger for the rest of his life. But all right. That's quick hits.
All right. That is a quick dose of quick hits this week. Let's move on to pop culture. John, you saw a couple of movies.
I did. I finally saw Crazy Rich Asians. I thought it was an enjoyable formulaic rom-com. I don't know if I would have liked it if it had just been a bunch of white people, because it was very formula. But because it was an all-Asian cast, there was a lot of different culture things going on to add flavor to it. And all of the comparisons to My Big Fat Greek Wedding are apt. I liked a lot of the actors in it. So overall, yeah, I liked it. It's a decent date movie. And the other movie I saw was The Nun, which is a spinoff from the Conjuring movies. It sucked. It was way too dark. I could not see what was going on, and the scares weren't really scary. It was just something jumps out of the dark every once in a while, but the movie didn't really know how to pace itself and build suspense.
And when you say it was too dark, I want to know if it was
I could not
the lighting
see what was
too
on.
Dark.
Yes, he couldn't
the
see.
The lighting was too dark. I could not. I wanted the projectionist to turn up the light or something because I just could not see what was going on a lot of the time.
Problem is in a movie like that, you turn up the light, you end up turning up the noise around it too, and it just doesn't look good.
Well, every once in a while, a movie will do this. Like Woman in Black 2, I didn't like because it was the same thing. It was just you couldn't see anything going on. Same thing happened with Aliens versus Predator Requiem and also a movie called The Musketeer, which some might remember, where they tried to combine The Musketeer with Crouching Tiger type fight choreography. Those movies just, and this joins it. So these four movies I will remember because they were just too dark and I could not see what was going on.
That's funny because I know all about what The Nun was, like what I've seen, you know, they've marketed it very well. So I kind of,
The trailer, the one slow build trailer, that is the best scare in the entire movie.
And it was the best lighting, I would assume.
And it was the best lighting. It was darker in the actual movie.
Wow.
I mean, I don't know what they were thinking. I don't know who watched it and went, yeah, I can see everything fine. Let's put it out like this.
Well, so, and in comment to your other movie, Crazy Rich Asians, I want to see that. Nothing but rave reviews from everybody I've seen that's gone and seen it. I have, you know, a good friend Max couldn't stop talking about it after he'd seen it on Facebook. You have another buddy of mine in LA just couldn't stop talking about it. A lot of people have raved about that movie. I want to see it. I've heard very good things about it. So I'm glad you enjoyed it.
It is very good.
So, my contribution to pop culture this week is I rented a couple of movies, waited and finally rented Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. My son's a big fan of that entire series. So we sat down and watched it. I liked it. I can see why it was not a critical favorite, if you will. It had its issues, but I still liked it. From an entertainment value, it was fun to watch. I think my favorite part of the last two movies have been the relationship of Blue and I'm already forgetting his name, the lead character.
Chris Pratt's the actor. I couldn't tell
yes,
you.
Yes, and I can't think of the screen
Owen?
Name. Yes.
His name?
Yes. I love the relationship between Raptor and Trainer. So, and they carry that on through this film as well. John, you're going to have to see it. I want your thoughts on it because there was one little reveal in this movie about a character and I wasn't quite sure how I felt about it. It went from, okay, dinosaurs, this and that, and this and that, to why are we doing this? And I think when you see it, you'll know what I'm talking about. So little strange for me, a little out of weird for me. So otherwise, I thought it was an enjoyable, entertaining movie. The other one we rented last weekend and watched Uncle Drew. And I know at least one of our listeners can't stop talking about how much she enjoyed it. Tiffany, she likes to watch it a lot. And I think she's seen it a couple times. Anyway, she can't stop talking about it. And I can see why. I watched it, enjoyed it, entertaining movie. Kyrie Irving was good as Uncle Drew. Couple of my favorite characters that were not in the lead, Lisa Leslie, I thought was really good. Her character was one of my favorite secondary characters in the movie. Really good. I just, the movie was entertaining all around. And I just liked it. I had fun with it. And there's gratuitous nudity in it too.
Well then.
I mean, I don't think it's giving anything away, but I don't know if anybody cares to want to see Shaquille O'Neal's butt. But you do see Shaquille O'Neal's butt in the film. So,
yeah.
But overall, the film, I laughed. I laughed through and through. I thought it was good. So it's worth renting. It is out in Redbox. It's worth renting and watching. That's it for me in pop culture. I haven't been picking up the binge watch yet of late because haven't had time. But in fact, I think Daredevil season 3 is coming out this month. So I will be putting on my binge very soon.
So. Oh, yeah. See, I was going to be a completist with the Netflix Marvel series, but Iron Fist killed me.
Well, and I've fallen
one episode and was like, ugh.
Yeah.
Haven't watched anything since. I did watch the first episode of The Defenders, but I didn't watch The Punisher, and I haven't watched season 2 of, I don't even know if they're out. Jessica Jones and Luke Cage, are those season 2s out?
Jessica Jones is, Luke Cage, I don't remember.
I know Iron Fist 2 is out. I'm like, I can't believe they did a second season.
See, I've let my binge watching go a little bit because Punisher I wanted to see really bad because I enjoyed his role in Daredevil season 2. So I want to watch it. But I just, and I haven't caught up on any of the new stuff. I started into Jessica Jones, and I think it was you that originally told me, hey, Alan, it's dark. And it is. It's really, I don't know. It was a little bit out there for me to start with. I settled into it, but I haven't picked it up for a while. And I haven't even watched a minute of Luke Cage, not a minute of Iron Fist, and not a minute of The Defenders. And unfortunately, I haven't done so with Punisher yet. I need to. But Daredevil was my favorite, and so I'm still looking forward to season 3. I liked it a lot, and I'm looking forward to more. So
yeah.
All right, anything, Devin, you have anything to throw into the pop culture talk this week?
I don't, but I will throw a teaser out there.
Okay.
Because I think John and I are going to be talking about this next week. Netflix, there's a series called Maniac. John,
yes.
You started it, right?
Mm-hmm. I have not watched it yet either. It's on my list. I've heard.
I just started it today. I'm going to work on it for the next week.
Okay.
And hopefully next week we can have a discussion. So that's your homework, kids.
That's my homework. I'll have to do it too.
And listeners, get on the Netflix.
And watch Maniac.
Watch Maniac, and then let's talk about it.
Okay. Last tidbit of pop culture news. Devin, why don't you go ahead and burn your show for the weekend coming up on Sunday?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my band's doing a thing. We're playing at the Loading Dock in Salt Lake, playing with a band called Demon and Me and a band called Postcards.
I believe it's a 6:30 showtime start, isn't it? Something like that?
It is.
I believe it because I put it on my calendar that way.
Let me check.
I'm planning on going. I'm planning on being there.
Okay, so the show is, doors will open at 6:30. Music should start about 6:45. We are scheduled to be on just after 8.
Okay.
It is $12. You can contact me for tickets, or you can get them online. I believe it's through JRC Events.
Yep.
And we would love to have you there. It should be fun. 5 bands, $12. Pretty tough to beat that.
Folks, check him out. I have seen Devin's band perform live. They're very good. And they're currently in studio right now trying to roll out some tracks. And I'm looking forward to the release of that when it's completed. So check them out Sunday. All right. That'll do it for this week's Jedi and Germs. We want to thank you for being along each and every week. Thanks for joining us this week. Join the discussion on Facebook, Twitter, Jedi and Germs. Listen to us each and every week on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you listen to podcasts. And leave us a review, please. Thank you very much. Enjoy your week. Go Jazz. John, take us out.
Bye, everybody.